panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
3CR 855am, 3CR digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations, and we pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander First Nations people tuning in, and we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her. Out of the Pan is a show covering pansexual issues in that we adapt that to meaning knowing no boundaries of sex, gender, or artistic genre on today's show. And there's lots of ways to get in touch with the show. Today we are going to be talking artsy stuff. And you can get in touch with the show outofthepan855@gmail.com. You can SMS 61456 751215, Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Instagram at Sal Gold Said So. And that's the bottom line. And posts on Facebook, Sally Goldner AM, Out of the Pan, 3CR, 855 AM, Melbourne. Snail mail, PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. Remember, any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. Thanks to the crew from Out of the Blue, diving deep for the marine news, as they do every morning from 11:30 till noon, every Sunday morning, that is. Lots of great programs on all 7 weekdays of 3CR at all times. And welcome to new presenters. Good to have new people as part of the 3CR family. Good to have you with us. Don't think there'll be any content notes today, so we'll only need them if we come to them. And we opened up today with the Hoodoo Gurus and Bittersweet. And anyone would think this show was planned, because that's from an album called Mars Needs Guitars. And nothing like a play on word, because I have two wonderful guests in the studio who are going to talk about a fantastic arts production. Let me introduce, first of all, welcome back to 3CR, your second time in the Out of the Pan studio. Mars, welcome back.
Hi, lovely to be here.
And welcome to the first time to Noah.
Thanks for having us.
And I'll check in with each of you, if it's all right to ask, which pronouns you use, if any. Mars?
I go by he, him.
And Noah?
And I'm the same, he, him.
Cool. Great to have you both with us. And you're part of what seems like it's going to be an amazing production called What's This?, put on by the National Drama School. Well, I could say tell us all about it, but we might start from there. We might start with, I suppose, and just either of you chip in at any time or bounce off each other, etc., with the National Drama School. Tell us about the National Drama School first. Who wants to go for that?
Yeah, I can go. So the National Drama School is a 2-year full-time acting program.
Wow.
I mean, I started when it was 3 years, so I'm in my 3rd year now.
Yeah, it's only recently just changed partway through last year. So this year's first year's there. The first one's getting the full 2-year course as it is now designed. We've been in a little bit of a transitionary period, but yes, it is now a 2-year full-time course.
Wowzies. So full-time, 2 years acting full-time. I mean, that sounds, well, it sounds like it's fun. It sounds like it's intense. I'm just going to go with my gut here. What sort of things, what sort of subjects, topics, random things at random do you do in a 2-year full-time acting course? Because not everyone's an actor and has really studied it, I suppose, or looked into it.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, when I first got in, it turned out to be not really what I expected. Yeah. I mean, in my first year, it was all about movement and voice.
Ah.
And that kind of propels you into second year, where you go into the production side of things and you now have all those tools that you've learnt in first year.
Ah.
And you can actually focus on the acting and the script analysis and stuff. And what was your first year like?
Yeah. First year was a bit interesting because we had that change. So first half of the year was very similar to what Mars just described, very movement, very voice-based, looking at different methodology from around the world and different people who have come up with these theories and ways of working. Then when the course went through its change and became more streamlined, it got a bit chaotic doing a lot. It got very intense, but we're here because we love doing it, so yeah, it's very fun. Became more performance based there, started doing classes with Mars's group. Now we just work together on everything. It's great.
Excellent. So a huge range of stuff. I mean, yeah, you don't perhaps think about that, that we all want to perhaps, my words here, rush in and be on stage or something. And then, of course, there's you've got to get the underlying foundations right, such as that voice and movement and those sorts of things. So, yeah, that it makes a lot of sense that that's a bit how it would happen. Yeah,
absolutely.
So let's drill in here. The National Drama School presents What's This? What is this when it comes to What's This?
Yes, it's look, it's a good joke. It's right there in the title.
Solid.
Yeah. What's This is the final performance from the 2024 graduating class of the National Drama School. It is a collection of solos, both autobiographical and drawing from literary canon, specifically Edgar Allan Poe. And, yeah, a collection that really just explores who we are, both as people and as artists.
Uh-huh. Tell us more about Edgar Allan Poe, Noah and Mars. You know, where did that idea come into it?
Edgar Allan Poe is... I mean, he's such an important figure in literature and in history. He's often called the father of the American Gothic, and that Gothic horror sort of sensibility, it explores so many key aspects of humanity. People who don't necessarily read Gothic horror a lot don't often see how deep that genre goes into ideas like identity, morality, philosophy, and it just became a really... great entry point into this work, into exploring those themes for ourselves and using his tales as inspiration and as this launching pad.
Okay, then. Anything to add to that?
I mean, yeah, I guess the only thing I'd mention is that there's a couple of tales, a couple solo pieces in the show that are more literally telling the story. A couple of the tales from Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes.
And then there's a couple, like Noah's, it kind of started as a stimulus, right?
Yeah,
the tale, but it's become something entirely different.
Yeah, I started looking at the tale, The Mask of the Red Death, and I've taken from that the idea of a masquerade ball, and that tale uses colour very evocatively, and I've taken those colours and those ideas, looking into colour theory and all that, but I'm not doing a tale about the Black Plague and a bunch of royals dying. I've taken the masquerade ball. That's it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Cool. So you've teased out one of the themes really well there. I mean, that certainly sounds evocative. What are some of the other themes that come into What's This?
Well, the first couple of solos in the show are not inspired at all by Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
The first one by Lainey Drake is all about desire and objectification of others and the self.
Mm-hmm.
Lainey's kind of developed this amazing Fleabag-esque theatrical landscape in which we get to see this character who is obsessed by desire and obsessed by being desired. And there are two worlds within the stage in Lainey's piece. So the first is up the front, talking to the audience. And that's kind of where we see the inner works of this character and the justifications for the way that they've become. And then Lainey has a camera set up at the back of the stage. And there's a live feed from the camera to the back wall projected, and the camera represents the eye of desire, I'd say. So we see how this person kind of shifts and changes based on if they're alone or if they're being perceived by people and how they want to be perceived.
Wow. It sounds amazing. Great thought and creativity going into it. I suppose the thing is at the same time, so relatable, because as you were describing that, Mars, I'm sitting there going, yeah, we all sometimes look at ourselves differently, or we might act differently with different people, or we might act differently to at home when we're by ourselves to when we're with people overall. Great stuff.
Exactly.
And so that, there's probably about 100% of humans, give or take, who can relate to it, which is very, very cool.
Yeah, and I think that's something that makes it a great piece.
Absolutely.
You kind of leave thinking about it after it's finished, and you do look at your own life in relation to it.
Which is, you know, which is a great example of good art, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are some of the others? Drop some more teasers for us.
Well, Eleanor Timms is second on the lineup, and her piece is... all about choice, all about the choices we make and kind of the chain reaction of those choices, butterfly effect-esque, I guess.
Yeah, also about the choices that we don't get to make, choices that people in power make and how those choices affect us via that butterfly effect as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we may think we have a choice, but really it's because hundreds of kilometers away somebody made a choice and that's led to... us actually not really getting a choice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, certainly, and I'll just acknowledge, without going too far off the thread of conversation, one of our listeners has written in about something that's happened far away in choices and during the week, relatively far away from so-called Australia. We'll get to that, email Jen in due course. Email in on outofthepan855@gmail.com. So choice, there's another one. Now, Out of the Pan, as we say, is a show covering pansexual issues and knowing the boundaries of things like sex and gender. What sort of things have come up in terms of things such as queer and any other parts of diversity, for example, that if not already mentioned?
There's talks of some neurodiversities.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope she's okay. Yeah, she'll be fine. Elle talks a little bit about having dyslexia in the schooling system.
Oh.
Which I think is something that's not spoken about enough.
No. Oh, goodness.
And kids in school go through hell, really, trying to... do the bare minimum when there's not the right support out there to help them through. I guess Lainey is a non-binary artist.
Cool.
And I think the story that they've written, it has elements of gender in it, I'd say.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wary of kind of spoiling the show by saying too
that's
much.
That's all right. No, just tease away.
Do you have anything to say on that?
No, I would say it's probably those two solos that are the major ones. It's less come through in the four Edgar Allan Poe tales. There are certainly elements, nothing that I think that comes to mind immediately, but, I mean, we're about to do several hours of rehearsing after this, so... sure, I'll think of it right when we're out of the studio.
Fair enough. Yeah. Again, the joy and amazement amazing thing that is art is just so, so important. People can explore things that, look at, we'll say similarities and differences, the things from a non-binary perspective as opposed to a cisgender or even binary trans perspective. But then, as we've talked about, things that affect all of us as humans is a really cool thing. Mm. It sounds like there's been so much effort in. I'll go one at a time here. Noah, if you're okay to just talk about your journey in arts and what you're doing as part of What's This, those sorts of things, what was, early ideas that you were perhaps someone who was interested in arts and acting, what do you remember, what sort of inspirations have there been, those sorts of things, but also anything you want.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm an actor and a writer, and I come originally from Tasmania. Moved here to study at the National Drama School last year. And that's really where my artist journey began. Really when I did the Kinder Nativity and sung a solo as one of the three wise men. When I was, 6 years old or something. I don't remember how old you are in kindergarten. That was a while ago. Started then, just loved being on stage since then grew into writing, doing one-act plays, then moving on to longer pieces and putting them on in Tasmania, then getting the opportunity to work in Melbourne. It's been amazing so far, and part of me does dread graduation because I like that structure, but it's going to be very exciting to be away from the National and see what comes next.
Well, I'll do one extra question then. I'm relatively early days yet, and you've just done a very, sounded like a relatively broad course where you've put down foundations, but any dreams that you'd love to achieve in your, arts journey?
Yeah, a big thing for me when it comes to art, I think about the pieces of art, whether they are books, movies, plays, that have really affected me as a person and affected my journey, and I've really walked away from them feeling like I want to change and I want to be a different person and be a better person. And really, if I could be part of something, or even better, if I could write something that just causes one person to sort of walk away and just think, this piece of art has changed my life, that's really enough for me. Which, cool. I say that's enough, that's a big ask, but yeah, for me it's less about fame or anything like that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that if that's your interest in art, but for me it's always been about that artistic change that can have, art can have on a person.
Well, wish you every success in achieving that aim, because, that's a great way to look at it, a great human way to look at it. And a very, very good thing. Mars, similar questions for yourself.
Oh, man. I mean, I started as a musician, as you know.
Yes.
I did music for many years and I always loved performing, but I think before I transitioned, acting just didn't feel like it was for me.
Uh-huh.
I kind of felt like I would just be, I didn't feel even real yet.
Uh-huh.
And after I transitioned, I kind of rekindled my love for theatre, and I was like, I might as well just give this a shot. So I applied for the National and have just been there for the past 3 years and just fallen completely in love with kind of every aspect of it.
That's really curious, and it's like no obligation to answer this. You just perhaps never felt, every trans person never feels comfortable in an unauthentic gender identity, and acting just didn't feel right for the first part of your life. Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I knew I had done a few things acting-wise before transition, but, obviously I was getting cast as something that I absolutely wasn't, which is sort of the definition of acting. But you know what I mean? Yeah. I was getting cast as something that I just felt like I could never really portray.
Mm. Well, yeah, you're trying to act it, but something deep down says, this is not who I am, so you can't act it. These are my words, but the brain must have been going around in circles a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And the heart, for that matter.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting thing, maybe one day you will to, do any sort of role of any gender identity, which would be the ultimate, and that sort of would be amazing. I deliberately did dig out some guitar-y music in honor of you today.
Gorgeous.
As part of that first that ended relation to that part of you. The question for both of you, which I often put to people in creative worlds, we sadly live in a, I'm going to say industrialized, and some would say capitalist, etc. society, but I wonder if it's much different in any society or economy nowadays. How do you manage to survive, I'll say, emotionally, mentally, financially, in a world that's, I'll stick more to so-called Australia, which often is not geared to really supporting artists, creatives, people who don't fit 9-to-5 norms, in very simple language. How do you manage that, and what sort of things have helped you to manage that? Were there any resources, or did you just find a way? Please both tell me about that.
I guess mentally the thing that gets me through is the creativity, is the fact that we get to go and do this every day and hopefully for the rest of our lives. In terms of practicality, I teach songwriting, which is great to be able to do something creative for work. And I would love to teach drama post-graduation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy. I feel like society as a whole is not designed for the arts or for creative people. It's very much, I mean, it is that industrial mindset. What can you provide to a boss? What can you provide to the government in a way? And the arts are not really built for that. So it's not easy. I think, at least speaking from my experience in Tasmania, it's easy to look at it as a writer. It's, I can create my own opportunities in a way. There's still the element of how do I get this on financially, practicality, but I don't have to wait and I don't have to have something come up that I can go for. I can help be part of that and then hopefully help other people who want to do this for the rest of their lives through that method as well and help create those opportunities.
Yep. No, that's, I love your approach. It's so heartfelt, and both of you. So, you know, sort of about giving and teaching, which is always a good thing to do, you know, sharing knowledge so that we perhaps don't reinvent wheels is just absolutely awesome. Yeah, they're good things to do. Let's come back to What's This, which is sort of saying one of our awesome listeners, because as always 3CR, including Out of the Pan, it doesn't have regular listeners. We have awesome listeners. Roving Reporter has come in with a couple of things, but has said great to see queer representation in the arts. Absolutely. Yeah. Just bring it. let's come back to What's This, and let's get into the sort of when we're house type of stuff. Let's go through that, whoever wants to.
Yeah, so What's This opens at the Theatre Works Explosives Factory in St Kilda. We'll open on this Wednesday, the 13th of November, and we close on the 23rd. Just under 2 weeks. Yes. 10 days, 8 shows.
10 days, 8 shows. Well, yeah, I was going to ask that, which days the shows are on.
Yeah, we do Wednesday to Saturday, take a few days off, then Wednesday to Saturday again.
Got you. Yep. So 13th to 16th, 20th to 23rd, catch up on the washing and sleep or something for on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. The Explosives Factory. Now, I have the Explosives Factory bursting onto it. I must admit I'm not up with that one. Whereabouts is that? For people just to get their bearings, so to speak.
It's on Inkerman Road.
Yes, I'm not sure the actual number. If you look it up on the Theatre Works website, you'll be able to find it there. But yes, it is on Inkerman Road in St Kilda. It's fairly close to the National, if you know where that is, as just a sort of guiding point.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the actual number.
Yeah, well, 67 is the lucky number. Laneway of 67 Inkerman Street, St Kilda, so near the National Theatre on the corner of Barclay. So not too far from there, which will help people plan their parking and public transport, which we like plan. We're all about that on this show. The website has, there's a lot of, and I think this is bang on, a lot of content warnings. I'm not going to list them all here, but, please, listeners, if you are interested, check that out first. And I will have the link to this in today's podcast, and it's also on all the social medias if you're interested in booking. That's an important thing. And we do need to discuss various sort of parts of accessibility for this as well for audience members. So please do go through people's.
Yeah, so unfortunately the venue is not wheelchair accessible, which we really apologise for. But we do include closed captions
yes.
in the show. So if you're hard of hearing, it's completely accessible to you. There'll be a screen on the side of the stage that has all the text that's happening on stage so you can follow along. And also,
I've got audio descriptions for anyone who has some visual impairments so that they can still enjoy the show and they can have an earpiece describing the action as it is happening. Yes, unfortunately not wheelchair accessible, but us and TheatreWorks have really worked to make it accessible as much as we can, even if the venue is not.
Not as physically, not wheelchair accessible. Yeah, it's the old problem of, you know, inner city venues that need to be upgraded and all that sort of thing. It's not easy, and we all want to do it, but sometimes not so good unless you're flash enough to afford, I don't know, Hamer Hall or something like that. Yeah,
exactly.
What else do we need to cover? I think that, so we mentioned the dates, we've mentioned the venue. How do we get tickets? What's the simplest way or ways to do that?
Just going onto the TheatreWorks website. I believe we're on the homepage now, so
yes,
it'll be pretty easy to find us. There'll be a book ticket link. Show starts at 7:30 each of those nights. Doors will be open from 7 o'clock.
Cool.
Yeah, and you can also follow the National Drama School Instagram for some behind-the-scenes content. And then there's also the National Drama School Students Instagram account, which is a new page, and you can see a lot of BTS and some other fun things on
there. Yes, I've been given permission to take over that today, and I don't really know what I'm doing, but you'll get some behind-the-scenes stuff today from our rehearsal coming up.
In my best dry human voice, I thought you young people knew all about social media compared to this 59-year-old over here.
Maybe not us too.
Fair enough. Cool. All right. Well, that's how we can stay in touch, and we'll all what do these clever people do? They tag each other in and all these amazing things. I'm being totally sarcastic. I'm at least at 101 on those sorts of things. Come along in good time. There it is. I think we've got everything covered pretty much, unless there's any last calls.
No, I
can't think of anything, no.
Well, I reckon that's a good time to say, Mars and Noah, thank you so much for coming in and, you know, talking about this great sort of series of monologues. What's this? We found out what this is, at least some of it. You'll have to go and everyone will have to go and see the show over those 8 performances to find out exactly what it all is. My heart, body, skin and thoughts. Where do I fit? What's this? As per what the website says. Ars and Noah, thanks so much for coming into Out of the Pan.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, it's been fun.
All right, let's have some more musics. And this one is Eric Johnson from his album R via Musicom and Righteous, 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR on demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
Hi there, it's busy homosexual and community darling Dean R. Curie, and you're listening to 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM. Keep radical radio alive. Community radio is everything, and I love it.
Trans Family is a not-for-profit organization providing a peer support group for loved ones, including parents, siblings, extended family, and friends of a trans and gender diverse person. Trans Family runs discussion groups in person and online. We offer a safe space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your situation, and provide peer support. We are especially keen to hear from loved ones in regional and rural Victoria. Donations to Trans Family are tax deductible. For more information, visit transfamily.org.au or look for us on Facebook. Trans Family is a 3CR supporter.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan. With Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. We just heard two tracks. The first was Eric Johnson from RVM Musicom and Righteous, and then guitar of a different sort, Tommy Emmanuel from Determination and Initiation. One for Mars and his guitar playing. Well, I really feel like saying general content note, general US elections. It's very difficult. I admit, I'm the first to admit, and I was discussing this as I wrote in with Carolyn from Freedom of Species. He'll be coming up with Meg in about 16 minutes. If you're listening live, I'll check out the podcast. If you're not, So coming to Jenny's message, and I quote, "Hi, Sally. It's been a very big week, and just stating the obvious, I'm deeply concerned for my trans community in the USA. I just saw an article that Laverne Cox is planning to leave the USA or possibly move to another state. Can we please discuss the implications that this will have in us here in Australia?" Well, yeah. Look, I share your concern unequivocally. The articles that have been coming through are trans people in the US are, all of the US are devastated, even in the, we'll say, safer, if there is such a word, states like your Californias and New Yorks. I can understand Laverne Cox. I'm leaving an amazing woman, a trans woman of colour. There's that angle. And look, in the spirit of activism, as Caroline from Freedom of Species and I came in on our journey in today, we were discussing this. I'm struggling to understand, for example, two groups that seem to swing towards Trump were working class people and Latino voters. Now, Trump's made racist remarks. He wants to put up a wall on the Mexican border. He's a rich person, and yet these groups are swinging. Is it that perhaps there's, I don't know what it could be, but, the go is. So implications in Australia, look, the reality, sad as it is it will embolden right-wing types, misogynist, anti-queer, racist, that sort of thing. And that's frustrating, for sure. From the point of view of this program myself and that sort of thing, someone who values diversity, that's not a happy thought. Unfortunately, it means we're going to have to use one of my favorite analogies, put more sandbags up here, to stop a flood of, far right ideas from deluging us. Means we won't get some of the progress that we know we need. It's going to be harder for those further down the line. Go back to the situation regarding the census, where people with variation of sex characteristics were thrown under and out the back of the bus and all that sort of thing. So it's a very, very challenging situation. And your second email also telepathically taps into what Carol and I were discussing. What we as progressives can do to gain momentum and not allow such populist leaders to get traction in Australia. Now, I'm going to focus on the two words in Australia there. I'll go with my gut. It was once said many years ago that Australians were a more down-to-earth people, and I will use language that when I was growing up was a little nasty, that we see through bullshit easily. Whether that is true anymore, whether it's shifting, I don't know, whether it's as the same degree as a very, what can be at times the US, and I'm not obviously an expert on US sociology, has been described as a very emotive people or emotional people and all that, make America great again stuff. Would that work here? Well, we've managed to hold it off, but you're right. What do progressives do? And this is where I begin to get tangled up, and I'd welcome listeners' theories because, when there seems to be so much loss of truth and people believing anything, during the week I needed to take an Uber and I got this weird conspiracy theory from an Uber driver who seemed, we'll say, intelligent and sensible and, educated and all that sort of stuff, and was telling me about something, I don't know, the 20 generals and the Q theory that happened after the, sounds like a James Bond episode, if I can be lighthearted for a second, after the Kennedy assassination. I'm just sitting there sort of trying to go, this is the thing, is that how do you turn back that populism? What will it take? What will it take before people realise it's gone, it's already going too far, that we've lost democracy, things are becoming somewhat autocratic, if not. And I think it is fair to use the word fascist, this centralisation of power into systems such as the linkage of between Murdoch Media and the Liberal Party. I'm not, a sociological or theological, is that the word?
political theory, type of expert. But that's, when you start combining all the instruments of power into the one organisation, my basic 101 knowledge calls that the F word. So the question is, how do we combat it? How do we get truth back? How do we get people to understand what is right and wrong? How do we stop people falling for cult of personality type of stuff? So I suppose there's the first questions I'd ask to you, Jen, or put back, I'm sort of giving you more questions than answers. It's a very tricky thing. And thanks for your message there on the article from Variety about Laverne Cox. I'll have a look at that in a second. I don't have the answers, but I think I will say that this is why we need 3CR to be bold and daring. And, within queer communities, coming back to the focus of this program, it just bothers me that some of the so-called log cabin Republicans, the sort of gay Republicans, can even be there. I feel somewhat bamboozled at that sort of, hey, you're going to have your, yourselves being, your rights being cut back to some extent, and yet you can be part of that. Now, there is a saying, I suppose, if I'm thinking out loud, do you create change from inside or outside a structure? But what happens when a structure is, crumbling because the foundations have been eroded? Can you do something from inside the Republican Party? But is the Democrats the answer? I mean, it's just, it needs to be a new approach of communication to try to take on this sort of talk. But, it's an interesting thing. Now, I've had a few messages, one of which, the latest one from Roving Reporter, has said, and I quote, a lot of the Latino community are machismo in nature, especially amongst first and second generation men. Secondly, so many white women voted for Trump too. Yeah, and I don't, as I say, I'm not a sociologist, a psychologist, psychoanalyst. I'm not sure exactly where the appeal is coming and how Trump is getting through. But I suppose to some extent we've got to know, but also find ways to counter that back while staying somewhat, aligned to our own truth. And that's not an easy juggling act, listeners, including Roving. It is perplexing, and we're going to have to, get some quality coffee, because that's what we do in Melbourne, and try to find answers. But of course, lots of shows on 3CR will be talking about what needs to happen. Now, Roving has also messaged in earlier with loving the new progressive councillors got elected in the city of Dandenong, especially with Rhonda Garrad, instrumental in setting up a queer advisory body. The local election results in Victoria, which closed a couple of weeks ago, are coming through, and we're getting sort of various results in. Commiserations to one of my guests from a few months ago, Jodie Kinnersley, who stood for the City of Moonee Valley Council and didn't quite get there. Came in second, both on primary and preference vote. However, the first candidate in that ward, in the ward that she was running in, was 45% primary, so wasn't going to make a difference. But two candidate preferred. Jodie ended up with 28%, which is a pretty flippingly good effort in my book if it's the first time you've ever run. So well done to Jodie, and keep hanging in there and keep plugging on, because obviously you've got a base there and can do some good things. So here we go. Just trying to get the name of the ward, because I'm being Murnong Ward, in Moonee Valley. So Rose Isa, congratulations to Rose, who, as I say, 46, just under 46% of the primary vote first. Jodie second on 18.7%. And after distribution of preferences,
Jodie ended up with 28% compared to Rose's 51. So I think that's pretty amazing for a first time. We'll try to find out more over the next few weeks, and I'm sure other shows on 3CR, such as In Your Face on Friday afternoon, will be looking at whether queer and diverse candidates, queer candidates have been elected. Other shows may be looking at diverse candidates, but I think, of course, the more, as we say, the more the merrier. Anyway, just about out of time today on the show. Brief coverage of those issues. And once again, thanks to Mars and Noah for coming in. It was great to have them on, and talking about, the things that, think about the arts. I think we need arts more than ever in these times. I think the way they're exploring could be an indirect help. There seems there's lots of good people in arts. Someone who's been a frequent guest on this program previously, Jack Brady, is doing lots of good work to make sure that arts does challenge our political thinking. So really important that we do that. On the show today for Freedom of Species, Caroline and Meg will be talking about issues as they relate to pethood and companion animals. So they'll be they've been putting it all together in the last little while having Out of the Pan on in the background. And of course, a great show, lots of animal advocacy, vegan, vegetarian issues as they do, and they'll put a great show together for you. 2 o'clock is Rotations, 3 p.m. Queering the Air, and 4 p.m. to 6, the Salaam Radio Show. That's your afternoon of listening on 3CR, 855 AM, digital, 3cr.org.au, and 3CR On Demand. Take it out today with Michelle Parsons from her album from way back when, which was called Michelle Parsons. Logic in these things. There we go. And here's a track called Look Twice. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week. Tonight.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.